Let me say something very serious to everybody in here. We've been hearing testimonies. People thanking God for saving them. Remembering the day that God changed them. Come into their life. Made a difference. Made a change. Gave them peace. Gave them assurance. Do you have a testimony? Could you stand up right now and say, I thank God for the day that Jesus saved me? If you can't do that, then you need to get saved. If you can't stand up, listen, you may not remember the exact day, but you'll know that there was a time that Christ come into your life and where you ask him. Has there ever been a time where you ask him, where he actually came in and changed you and took the world out and put his righteousness in, put a love in for him and for the church and for his truth? Has there ever been a time that has happened to you, that God's amazing grace washed you white as snow? You need to think about that. If you can't do that, listening to everybody else say that is not going to help you any. Just to keep listening to it. You need a testimony. You need your own personal experience with Christ. What happened to grandma or grandpa or mom or dad or the preacher or the deacon or the friend or brother or sister? That's not going to do anything for you. You've got to have your own personal experience with God. Amen. That's why the Bible said, let every man, he's talking about woman, boy or girl too, work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. Why fear? Because this is eternal. Right. And the only other place to go outside of heaven is hell. Amen. I mean, listen, the world's not going to just continue going on the way it is. The Lord's going to come. It's going to all come to an abrupt stop. I think of many a day. I tell you where my mind goes many a day. Many a day I get to thinking about just how things has changed in this world in the last 30 years. Since God saved me and called me to preach. Even how the church has changed. But the world has changed drastically. And you think about all of the, a lot of our old heroes. Some of you that are older than me that knew men and women that you, I mean, they were different. They were different. You know they were different. They had nothing but God Almighty on their mind and their heart. It seemed like at all times. And they're gone. That crowd is, and the young people of that generation are old. They're pushing late 70s and 80s. Are you listening? That was the young people of that generation. They're all about gone. And I tell you, I mean, no man knows the day nor the hour, but I'm wondering, when is all this going to wrap up, Lord? Right. Amen? Right. Because things can't keep going the way they're going. Right. I mean, certainly, with what I see in the Scripture, with what we've seen fulfilled, especially in the past century, with Israel becoming a nation again. That's huge. That's huge. And everything that's happening, the way everything is abounding, I mean super abounding, super abounding. I've never seen so much of a change. In especially these last 5 years has been amazing as far as wickedness and ungodliness. And, those... I mean, there's buildings popping up on every corner saying that they're a worship center or a congregation of, and people are flogging to that, denying the power thereof. Amen. Thank God they still a few places with a few small congregations, amen, that still love the Lord, where you can still hear saints pray and people sing old-fashioned hymns, amen, and give God glory and teach the book and preach the book, amen. Thank God that they're still, because I'll tell you, that is the last hope of this whole world. The church, the Holy Ghost, God's Word that God left here to wrap this whole thing up. The dimes of the Gentiles, Brother Dave, is about over with. I mean, the gospel has went around the world. It's centered right back on the Middle East. Amen. It has been ever since 1948. People started trying to figure out how to get the gospel back to those Jews, back to that homeland, and the Lord's coming again. Do you have a testimony? Could you stand up right now and say, I've got a testimony. I want to thank God for saving me. I want to thank God for the day I bowed my head, humbled my heart under conviction. That's important. You know that?
Right.
God was dealing with me. God was speaking to my heart. Jesus said, no man comes unto the Father but by me. No man comes unto me except the Father which sent me draws him. That drawing power has got to happen. That's not going to change. The world may forget about that. And they may want to forget about the blood. I was thinking about the text that I was actually thinking about this morning was there in Exodus. I mean, you talk about one of the greatest pictures of our salvation ever given in Scripture was when God told those Israelites, take a lamb. Take a lamb and slay it and put the blood on the doorpost. There's not a greater picture of our salvation. And when the death angel came that night, to take the firstborn of every house that did not have blood on the doorpost. Those people that had blood knew about the lamb. It was all centered around an innocent lamb. And that house had to feed on that lamb that night. I think there's something about them feeding on that lamb, that roasted lamb, judged by fire. That's what that's a picture of. But listen, them Israelites, they was as much sinners as the Egyptians was. If there wasn't blood, listen, that was the only difference that night, was the blood on the doorpost. The lamb that was inside. Amen. That's what the difference was. The blood of an innocent lamb that was being roasted and eaten on the inside of that house. Is Jesus inside your life? Is he in your house?
Amen.
Are you feeding on him?
Amen.
Amen. This world ain't feeding on him because they don't want him. They're full of the world. They want the world. I mean, I can imagine this, some of them Egyptians out that night still having a big time. Amen. And the death angel passed by. They didn't have the blood on the door. They wasn't ready. Wasn't ready. Listen, when he comes, it's going to be like that game we used to play when we was kids. Ready or not, here I come.
Yeah. You're right.
Amen. Ready or not, he's coming.
Amen.
Are you ready? Do you have a testimony?
Amen.
Have you got blood on your heart?
Amen.
Has your sins been washed away?
Amen.
You say, what sins? That's exactly the problem today. This generation, they don't know that they're even a sinner. They don't know that they're guilty. They don't know that they need to be saved. They don't think there's anything wrong with them. But there is something wrong with man today. There's something that's wrong with him is when Adam had fell thousands of years ago. He's a sinner without God. That's what's wrong with him. Listen, all the sin, that's just a result of him being a sinner.
Amen? I mean, all that a man does, all that he is, that's because he's a sinner. We see all this wickedness and it just getting more vile and more vile. That's their nature. That's who they are. Jesus said it this way, you're of your father the devil. Amen? I'm glad I switched fathers one day. Amen? I at one time was of my father the devil and I did his deeds. Thank God I had a heavenly father that loved me, saved me, changed me, moved in with me. I've got a father in heaven now. You can have a father in heaven. A relationship with Christ. Amen. A relationship where when you get down, listen, he's not God anymore. I mean, he is, but you can say Father. Sinners right now, they know him as a judging God. They want to know him as a loving God. Listen, if you ever really know him as a loving God, you'll know him as Father. Amen. You'll want what he has. That's right. Listen, don't call me Father if you don't live in my house. If you don't sit at my table. Amen. If I'm not the one taking care of you, don't call me Daddy. Amen. That's right. I know who mine are. I know who belongs to me. Amen. That's exactly right. I know their face. I know what they want. I know what they need. Amen. God is our Father, church. Thank God for that, that today you and I can have that testimony that many have had this morning. What a great story there in that book, thank God, of the Lord, the Lamb. The Lamb, it was all, the more I look at that, it was all, there was no blood without the Lamb. No feast without the Lamb. Amen. I mean, that's exactly what that angel was looking for, blood of the Lamb. Listen, it wasn't just blood, it was the blood of the Lamb. I can't imagine somebody had been crazy enough not to put the blood of a goat on the door, amen. He's looking for the blood of the Lamb. An innocent Lamb, the one that God said had to be exactly the way God said to do it. Amen. I'm glad that it's that way today. Salvation is still the way that God said. Amen. Thousands of years ago, God made a way. Isn't it miraculous? It was by the blood of a Lamb. Isn't it miraculous? His son is called the Lamb. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Bless his name. Thank God. He can get a hold of you. He can get a hold of you, shake you, rattle you. Amen. Get in you. But they had to take that reed, dip it in that blood, strike it. That reed's a type of faith. That's all it's a type of. They put faith in that lamb and in that blood. Amen? That's what that reed is. Listen, it's all doing you no good. This message ain't going to do you no good if you don't respond to it. These testimonies ain't doing you no good. If God's speaking to you, knocking on your heart, that does you no good if you walk out the door. Amen? If you get up, if you throw up your wall and say, not for me, it's doing you no good. It'll do you good if you walk down that aisle, get down on your knees, look up to the God of heaven and say, have mercy on me, a sinner. The Lord will save you. Listen, it don't take a whole lot of begging, amen. He wants to save you. If you want to be saved, he wants to save you. If you could see it just as plain as maybe some of them saw it. If you could see that the death angel's on his way pretty fast, And you need to get blood on the door. You need a lamb's blood. Amen. Then you'll start doing something about it. When you see the urgency, the necessity. That's what happened to me. I know that's what happened to me when God dealt with me. I'd never felt anything like that. I'd never experienced anything like that. I mean, I already thought I was a Baptist. I'd already asked my family what we was. They told me we was Baptist my whole life. I thought I was ready to go. I had never had an experience with God like the day that God started dealing with my heart. Started convicting me and showing me I was lost. Something was wrong with me. Amen. That I was a sinner. I was going to hell. I was guilty. Boy, I didn't feel so good about myself after that day. And the next time I never felt good about myself when I was in the house of God. I realized what I was. I realized my sin. I realized what I was guilty of. I realized I wasn't like that man standing in the pulpit preaching. I wasn't like them singing with smiles on their face. I realized they had something a lot different than I had. And I was guilty. And I was overwhelmed by guilt. I mean, I was overwhelmed by guilt. But as many times I pushed back. I come in with the intention of leaving a sinner. I was going to leave and go sin. Are you listening to me? I didn't want to be there many a time. I didn't even know why I was at church many a time. I'd come in, I'd sit and listen just as far toward the back as I could get most of the time. And not saying if you sit in the back that that's your problem, but that was my problem. I'd say I didn't want to be up front. I didn't want to be nowhere near it. I wanted to be as in and out as fast as I could. Why? Because when it was over, I was going to go get with my friends. I was going to go get with who I liked, what I wanted to do, what I enjoyed doing. It was the flesh. I was doing the bid of my father, the devil. It was always evil. It was always sin, fun, wickedness, worldliness. Amen. Party. That's right. That's what I wanted. That's what made me feel good. That's where I was happy. And then today, listen, one time I finally made it to the altar. Thought I got saved. Confessed, asked him to save me, got up crying. Went out, tried to do good for a few days. But listen to me. I still wanted to do all that same stuff out there. It's amazing that that was still what was making me happy and not what was happening in here. You know, a lot of people are miserable in the house of God. I know the reason why. That's why I was miserable in the house of God. When the preacher preached the truth, I'd get mad, I'd get upset. Amen. I didn't want to hear it. He is wrong. That's right. He need to keep his nose out of my business. Oh, he's just old. That's why he's just old. He don't understand our generation. There ain't nothing wrong with what I'm doing. He knew more about it than I did. He had spent more time with God than I ever had. Amen. God had told him plenty what was wrong in my life. He may not have realized it, but God had already loaded my bucket in that preacher's lap. Every time I come, it seemed like he squared his finger right between my eyes. God dealing with me. That was the goodness of God. I thought God was picking on me, making me miserable. I was just miserable, condemned. Heart beating out of my chest. Every time I come around, they start singing Amazing Grace, it'd be that much worse. I mean, just conviction on me, the Holy Ghost dealing with me. That was God trying to say, son, I want to save you. I want to change you. I want to wash your sin. I want to make you new. I want to give you a new life. I didn't see it. Couldn't see it. I was as blind as a blind man in the darkness. I couldn't see it. But the more God talked with me, the more God reasoned with me, the more I realized there ain't nothing worth dying going to hell over. There ain't nothing worth missing eternity over. I remember the Lord dealing with my heart. I come down the left side of the aisle at Yellow Creek. At first, I wasn't going to go. Somebody else went. I wasn't going to go. I told God no again. When I saw somebody else had got their way into the altar, I said, well, I might as well. But I was at the point in my life, I just didn't know if God was really going to do anything for me or not. I'd tried it many times before, and it hadn't made no change, hadn't made no difference in my life. I remember praying that prayer, Lord, if you don't do something for me, if you don't do something for me, it's not going to be done. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I really wish you'd forgive me. I really wish my life had changed. But I know I'll get up from here and things ain't going to be changed. If you don't do something for me, it ain't going to be done. It's just like a voice in my head said something that I'd heard my granddaddy say many a time. He said, why don't you just look up and praise God and thank Him for His salvation? And it was in that instant that I received Christ by faith. I just believed. That was God's way of helping me to believe that it was all in Him and He paid for it. It wasn't about me making promises to Him. It was about His saving grace. And things changed that day. I haven't been perfect. I hadn't. But since that day, I've had a desire to really want to live for the Lord. I've not wanted to mess up. I've not wanted to mess up. And when I have, I've had to go to Him and say, Lord, I'm sorry for that. I need your help with this. I need your guidance. I need your leadership. I need your strength. He was in my life. Finally, He was in my life. That was the change. And you're talking about a boy, listen, that learned things the hard, but it was so much, I know it was so much the Holy Spirit using people around me, saints, I would hear them testify, preachers preach, teachers teach, that God was growing me in His Word so fast because I was so hungry after God saved me. I didn't know to do those things. I got saved into it. God began a work of grace in my life. You that's saved, you know what I'm talking about. God's worked in your life all these years. You've seen Him. You know what I'm talking about. How about it this morning? Can you stand up? Say, I've got a testimony. I know I'm born again. I know Jesus is in my life. I want you to stand this morning. Brother Mike, would you come maybe and